Chapter 8. Trevor was sipping a carry-out double latte from Beach Java and debating whether to add a generous shot or two of amaretto to help soothe away the morning's cobwebs when the call came. His cramped suite had no intercom system. One was not needed. Jan could simply yell any message down the hall, and he could yell back if he wanted. For 8 years, he and this particular secretary had been barking at each other.
"It's some bank in the Bahamas,"
she announced. He almost spilled the coffee as he lunged for the phone. It was a Brit, whose accent had been softened by the islands. A substantial wire had been received from a bank in Iowa. How substantial, he wanted to know, covering his mouth so Jan couldn't hear. $100,000. Trevor hung up and added the amaretto, 3 shots of it, and sipped the delightful brew while smiling goofily at the wall. In his career, he'd never come close to a fee of $33,000. He'd settled a car wreck once for $25,000, taken a fee of $7,500, and within 2 months had spent all of it. Jan knew nothing about the offshore account and the scam that diverted money to it, so he was forced to wait an hour, make a bunch of useless phone calls, and try to look busy before announcing he had to take care of some crucial business in downtown Jacksonville, then he was needed at Trumbull. She didn't care. He disappeared all the time, and she had some reading to keep her occupied. He raced to the airport, almost missed his shuttle, and drank 2 beers during the 30-minute flight to Fort Lauderdale, then 2 more on the way to Nassau. On the ground, he fell into the back of a cab, a 1974 Cadillac painted gold, without air conditioning and with a driver who'd also been drinking. The air was hot and wet, the traffic slow, and Trevor's shirt was sticking to his back by the time they stopped downtown near the Geneva Trust Bank building. Inside, Mr. Brashears came forward eventually and led Trevor to his small office. He presented a sheet of paper which gave the bare details. A $100,000 wire originating from the First Iowa Bank in Des Moines, remitter being a faceless entity named CMT Investments. The payee was another generic entity named Boomer Realty Limited. Boomer was the name of Joe Roy Spicer's favorite bird dog. Trevor signed the forms to transfer $25,000 to his own separate account with Geneva Trust, money he kept hidden from his secretary and from the IRS. The remaining $8,000 was handed to him in a thick envelope, cash. He stuffed it deep into his khaki pants pocket, shook Brashear's soft little hand, and raced out of the building. He was tempted to stay a couple of days. Find a room on the beach, get a chair by the pool, and drink rum until they stopped bringing it to him. The temptation grew to the point that he almost bolted from the gate at the airport and raced to get another cab. But he reached deep, determined not to squander his money this time. 2 hours later, he was in the Jacksonville airport, drinking strong coffee without liquor and making his plans. He drove to Trumbull, arriving at 4:30. And he waited for Spicer almost half an hour.
"A pleasant surprise,"
Spicer said dryly as he stepped into the attorney conference room. Trevor had no briefcase to inspect, so the guard patted his pockets and stepped outside. His cash was hidden under the floor mat of his Beetle. "We received $100,000 from Iowa," Trevor said, glancing at the door. Spicer was suddenly happy to see his lawyer. He resented the "we" in Trevor's announcement, and he resented the healthy cut he raked off the top. But the scam wouldn't work without help from the outside, and, as usual, the lawyer was a necessary evil. So far, Trevor could be trusted.
"It's in the Bahamas?"
"Yes, I just left there. The money's all tucked away, all 67,000 of it."
Spicer breathed deeply and savored the victory. A third of the loot gave him $22,000 in change. It was time to write some more letters.